This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. San Francisco often seems to be ahead of the global curve with its progressive politics, its art, and its fevered pace of innovation. Well, there was actually a moment when it all started. One century ago, when the city hosted the 1915 Panama Pacific International Exhibition, otherwise known as the PPIE.
There was plenty of culture and history, too. Beautiful girls and beautiful animals. It was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to San Francisco.
It was a World's Fair, a grand affair, lasting almost a year, covering the northern shores of what's now the Marina District. This year, organizations around the city are holding centennial celebrations to commemorate the fair. KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs has the story of what it meant to San Francisco when the expo came to town.
Imagine a tower. More than 40 stories high, sparkling as the sun catches 100,000 pieces of colorful cut glass. Imagine this tower at night, lit by dozens of spotlights as its gown of glass shimmies in the wind for a gaping audience beneath, an audience that was only just starting to have access to electricity. Imagine the promise this vision held, the way it pointed your city towards the future. It was 1915, 9 years after a devastating earthquake, years of darkness and despair. Now, San Francisco was finally moving into the light. The city's merchant and civic leaders poured their hearts into the Panama Pacific International Exhibition, or the PPIE. This World's Fair was ostensibly celebrating the recent completion of the Panama Canal. But really, this was the city's chance to show the world that it was back. The city wrestled 635 acres from the swampy tidal marsh on the northern end of the city, in what's now the Marina. Builders from 28 states and territories and 21 nations constructed the lavish halls that would hold the exhibitions. By the time the fair opened on February 20th, 1915, few traces of the wild marsh remained. Instead, visitors strolled through opulent gardens, past fountains and exquisite statues, and traversed 47 miles of walkways between the grand exhibit halls. And the exhibitions held endless wonders. The Palace of Machinery was so huge that it was the world's first building to have a plane fly through it. At the Southern Pacific Railroad exhibit, you could walk through some of California's giant redwood trees. You could watch sumo wrestling or hear the clang of a working Model T assembly line. You could listen in on the country's very first transcontinental phone call or watch a machine milk a cow. The goal of the fair, so says the official history, was to create
a microcosm so nearly complete that if all the world were destroyed except the 635 acres of land within the exposition gates, the material basis of life of today could have been reproduced from the exemplifications of the arts, inventions, and industries there exhibited.
The reader here is Laura Ackley, a local historian who recently published a book about the PPIE. By recreating the whole world in a corner of the city, San Francisco allowed almost 19 million visitors access to ideas, places, and people they never could have imagined. But putting it all together was a massive undertaking.
It's so quintessentially San Francisco. Of course, no sane city would decide in the face of disaster that what they're going to do is throw a gigantic party and invite the world. But of course, that's exactly what San Francisco did.
The city tried to use the PPIE to position itself as a center of excitement and modern ideas. But it didn't always succeed. For example,
there were at least four facades over the course of the fair, though they changed over the course of the fair, that depicted African Americans as really offensive caricatures on the very fronts of the buildings. I've actually seen no complaints about it contemporary to 1915. It was simply accepted as something that was all right.
Ackley says all world's fairs had similar issues. They reflected mainstream culture of the time, both good and bad. San Francisco's was unique not for its flaws, but for its successes.
It was technological. It was modern. The Bay Area has always wanted to position itself as a place of innovation, and I think that is absolutely still true today.
For all of its decadence, the fair only lasted about 9 months. All of the beautiful buildings were flimsily made of plaster, and in the weeks and months after the fair, almost all of them came down. A few lonely ones remained, supposedly because the fair's architect, Edward Bennett, thought that every great city should have a few ruins. The only building that remained on site was Bernard Maybeck's Palace of Fine Arts. In the 1960s, the Palace of Fine Arts was totally reconstructed, and today it's the neighborhood's only remaining trace of the PPIE, a fitting place to kick off a centennial celebration.
I've waited 100 years for this day.
Among the many innovations visitors could witness at the original fair, the one that stirred up the most excitement was a little Hawaiian instrument called the ukulele, or the ukulele. To give you an idea, Henry Ford of Ford Motors loved the music so much that he convinced the Hawaiian ukulele band who played at the fair to move to Detroit and play for Ford employees. Today, people are just as enthusiastic. Hiram Bell is one of hundreds who showed up to play under the rotunda. Walking into the Palace of Fine Arts, reminders of the time are everywhere. That's the siren on a fire truck that was actually at the 1915 PPIE.
We have made it as close as we can get to the original fire truck, and it's a drivable, operable fire truck.
My name is Donna Ewald Huggins. I'm the mayor's liaison for the centennial of the exposition, and that's because I've been involved with collecting the Panama Pacific for over 40 years.
Huggins has the PPIE in her blood. Her grandparents fell in love under the rotunda here while visiting the fair, and the rest is history. History that Huggins has spent her whole life collecting. She actually met her fiancé through their mutual fascination with the fair.
He proposed on the anniversary of the Panama Pacific Exposition and presented me with a ring that is a duplicate of a ring from the Tower of Jewels.
Huggins has set up a portion of her collection in a glass case in a corner of the room. People crowd around to see the hat pins, button hooks, and souvenir shoes on display. And there are lots of people who want to show Huggins parts of their own collections.
This is my grandfather.
This is something you're very proud of. This is
what I am.
You should have that on the wall.
Pile up the glories till the farthest one in ecstasy outtops the gaze of man.
That's Clifford Johnson, a PPIE collector reading from a book of poems written about the fair.
Let trumpets golden voiced in blend with these. Proclaim in harmonies mankind may hear the mighty sum of this imperial day.
Several enthusiasts actually come dressed up as figures who attended the fair in 1915. I see Thomas Edison, San Francisco Mayor Jim Rolfe, and a lesser-known figure.
I'm Mae Mead, and I am the Contra Costa County Chairwoman for the Women's Board. Now, you may not be familiar with the Women's Board, but it's not all the men that were involved in bringing the exposition to San Francisco. When I'm not Mae Mead, I'm Carol Jensen, and I'm a local historian in Contra Costa County. My mother visited the fair, and my mother recalled throughout her life that her family had stayed at the fair until it got dark and the lights came on in the Tower of Jewels. I think last night was particularly poignant because the Palace of Fine Arts is illuminated with the colors and illumination you would have seen in 1915. And as I stood outside, I thought, 100 years ago, my mother saw this. I get a little emotional even thinking about it.
100 years later, the Palace of Fine Arts once again hosts crowds of visitors eager to see the latest technologies on display, this time at the new Innovation Hangar. Instead of Ford's Model Ts or milking machines, you'll see virtual reality games or workout clothes that can sense your heart rate. Inside, you're immersed in the future. But walk outside, take a look at the rotunda, and it's not so hard to feel the wonder of the past. In San Francisco, I'm Nina Gensler-Debs for Cross Currents.